today on Real Radio.
The message Isaiah is sending to the people is this: turn back to God. Don't throw your arms up and say, well, you know, God's in control, and that's just the way it goes. No, yeah, God's in control, but God has told us the plan. Seek me, and I'll heal your land.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called In God We Trust, Part 1, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. We really do appreciate you being here. God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. Now, God wanted Judah to turn away from their sin and return to Him so that He could continue to bless them. Isaiah, by the way, is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the gospel and the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 7, we are reminded of how God is bound to His word and that His word is true and lasts forever. Pastor Jack also challenged us to look at our own lives to see if our behavior matches up with the Bible. History is in the eyewitnesses of God's word. Even though Old Testament Bible prophecy covers vast amounts of time, its accuracy is answered in New Testament scripture. Now in Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah has two sons, one whose name meant the remnant shall return, and the other whose name meant quick to plunder, swift to spoil. We'll see how their names will symbolize Isaiah's message. So today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack reminds us not to panic. God is with us. We'll never find total comfort from this world, that's for sure, because we are not of this world. Our nation's motto is, In God We Trust. God will withhold His judgment when we repent and return to putting Him first in our lives. And now continuing his lesson called, In God We Trust, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
It's not that God's not providing water. It's just that we mismanage water. The water was cut off from our farmers because there's certain people that they don't want the Delta smelt fish to possibly go extinct. Did you know that? It's been diverted. Do you know where the water is going, anybody? Somebody says, "Boy, you're right on. You must play Jeopardy." The water's going directly to the Pacific Ocean because they want this little fish to live. And it's funny because I've asked some people, "Oh, you think that's an important thing?" "Yes, I do." "Are you an evolutionist?" "Yes, I am." "Then let the fish die. If you're an evolutionist, let it die." "How could you say that?" "Survival of the fittest. Let the fish die." Evolutionists, they're so inconsistent. You say, what does this have to do with the study? It has everything to do with this. Our state's in deep, deep trouble. And listen, people who think they have the luxury of living in other states, if they're eating any salads or broccoli or almonds or oranges or you name it, it's coming from here. And God, I believe, is removing His hand from this state. You say, how can you say such a thing? Because listen, if God loved Israel so much and He did this to them, then who are we? Look, if I was the dictator of this state, I'd call a prayer meeting. "Well, that's separate. You can't have separated churches." "I don't care. I'd like to have water come out of my tap." Right? Wouldn't it be great if he just said, as governor, I'm calling a time of prayer. He could say, "I don't care what you believe in. You can pray to the rocks if you want. Just pray for rain, will you?" Just think about that. "Well, we can't do that." "Well, then we'll just keep licking dust." We need to call upon God. We need to call upon Him. Well, look, I don't want to take the time. You can read more of Deuteronomy chapter 28. It'll break your heart. Because when you read passages like this, which, by the way, goes on to say in chapter 28, verse 43, it says that foreigners will live among you and they will become stronger than you and you will become weaker and they will lend you money and you'll have to borrow money from them. All because God says, because you've gotten your eyes, you took your affection away from me. Does this sound familiar? Yeah. God uses nations. The second thing we see about in God we trust is in verses 5 to 10, and that is because he is our peace. Listen, he's the Lord. God's in control. Christian, listen, God's in control. But what you must never do, the message Isaiah is sending to the people is this: turn back to God. Don't throw your arms up and say, well, you know, God's in control, and that's just the way it goes. No, yeah, God's in control, but God has told us the plan. Seek me, and I'll heal your land. Yes, God's in control, but he's invited us to get involved. But also this, because he's our peace, verses 5 through 10. We need to trust God. The Lord also spoke to me again, saying, insomuch as these people, that's Israel in the north, refuse the waters of Shiloah that flow softly. This is sweet. Watch this, everybody, because now Isaiah starts to speak very romantically about the ministry of God. Because they refuse the waters of Shiloah that flow softly, it's like a brook, it's very gentle, and instead rejoice in reason and in Remaliah's son, that is the king up in the north of Israel there. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord brings up over them the waters of the river. He's talking about the Euphrates and Tigris, strong and mighty. The word means out of control, flooding, raging. The king of Assyria and all his glory, he will go up over all his channels and go over all his banks. Watch, I'll explain this in a second. Verse 8, he will pass through Judah. He will overflow and pass over. He will reach up to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. Mark that down. This is awesome. All of a sudden, and this is why it's hard to track. This is a tough chapter to teach. Israel in the north made an alliance with a pagan nation to attack his brother Judah in the south. I've promised you blessings if you obey me, but you're not obeying me. Ahaz is panicking instead of trusting God. He's going to be leaning on external things. And Isaiah is trying to speak to him the truth. God says, this is what's going on. Ahaz, wake up. Your brother in the north, this is what he's done. He has confided in a pagan nation, listen, to make a confederacy to attack you. But don't worry. They're trusting that their military prowess will be so overwhelming, they're just going to flood. He speaks like regarding the invading army, as though it's a river overflowing its banks. In other words, he's going to come against you. It's going to look like the Euphrates and Tigris is overflowing like it does, and it looks like you're not going to have any hope. Don't worry, he's saying. Trust in me. Trust in God. Listen to Isaiah. Drink water from Shiloah. The word Shiloah is a connected word where it means scent and peace. Shiloah flows from Mount Zion northward over to the northern part of the old city of Jerusalem. It's a little brook. And God says, listen, this is how God is. Don't freak out when the flood comes against your life. It feels like it's going to take you over. It feels like it's going to crush you dead. He says, rather, listen. Be connected to Shiloah. Drink from Shiloah. Be calmed by Shiloah. What's he saying? It's a term meaning from God's peace, from what God provides. Just trust me, God is saying, I'll take care of you. Church, this is one of the hardest things, but yet none of us will escape. How many of you are Christians tonight? Raise your hands right now. Okay, listen, every one of you as a believer, This is our great dilemma in our lives as Christians. We see the river overflowing of financial pressure or fears of all kinds of things, whatever it may be. We've all got these things, and they threaten us. And God says, trust in me. But God, and listen, because we live in the temporal, we see and we hear the rumblings, and we really, really, really panic about it. You know, I told you guys before, it's my mom, having been born and raised in Hawaii, we grew up here in San Diego and then Orange County. My mom refused to have screens on our windows because they don't have screens in Hawaii. And your windows are always open all the time. So is mine, open. So I'm reading in the front room. Lisa's in the bedroom reading. And it's quiet. And boom! This big crash. I jump up and I run into the living room, and there's two doves inside of our house trying to fly through the window to get out. And one backed up and figured it out and flew out the front door. And I guess we have our door open too. Because he flew out the door, and I went up there and I got the little dove and I grabbed it and I just looked at it. Have you ever seen those things up close? I mean, they're just the sweetest thing you've ever seen, right? And it was looking at me, and it just goes like this. It just goes, right? And then it just goes. And you know, he didn't tell me this in Devonian or whatever they speak, but you could tell, okay, he's given up. He's realized it's over. And so I just walked over to the door, and I opened up my hands, and I let him go. That bird had no idea that my frantic movement to capture it and to get it was to keep it from flying into the window and to set it free. It didn't realize its true freedom coming until it clearly surrendered in my hands. It exhausted itself by sheer fear. Do you ever feel like that? Oh, we worry. We're so exhausted, we're panicking. And then we're just at the brink that we think we're about ready to explode, have a heart attack, or drop dead. And all the while, there's an open door the whole time. And what does that bird think right now? You know, who was that who rescued me? I thought he was going to crush me because he just put his hands over there and grabbed me and then took. And many times in life, we get so overwhelmed by the violent river and the roar of it and the sound of it, and this doesn't make sense. That bird's probably thinking, this is crystal clear. What is this stuff that's keeping me from going? Why aren't I going? Maybe you feel like that. Why isn't my life going? And I'm wondering if many times you and I go through so much that we put ourselves through. I wonder if God is saying, calm down. Stop flying into the window. I want to set you free in this thing. Drink from the water of Shiloh. Drink from the peace that he's offering. Drink that peace. And so, in John chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus says this. When Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, we talked about her recently, he said to her, whoever drinks of this water, meaning earthly water, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. When God says to the nation, to the people of Judah, drink from Shiloh, they knew as Jews that was the symbolism of God saying, drink from my waters of peace. In John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus says this. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. By the way, he's just coming up to his crucifixion. just days away. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture says, the Old Testament, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. That's an awesome thing. Listen, Jesus says, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. The word is torrents. But listen, that joyful life doesn't come from the Euphrates or the Tigris fire hose mentality. God says to us tonight, drink from the waters of Shiloah. Drink of what I offer. God says, I want you to have peace. We think that the countermeasure to the overwhelming attack on our lives. Now, look, let's be honest. Some of us have self-inflicted wounds regarding the dilemmas we're in. Some of us are going through God-engineered trials because he's showing us the power of his word or something like that. And listen, some are going through difficult torrent rivers because the world is coming against us. That's for you to figure out, ask God. That's for me to figure out and ask God. But no matter what the situation is, this is what God would have us do. He would have us go to his word, and when we read it, his word tells us, I am your peace. See, when we're all caught up in the flood, we'll read 10 chapters and we walk away frustrated, just as frustrated as we did before we read the 10 chapters. What happened? We didn't drink it. Oh my goodness, my life's falling apart. Let's read 10 chapters of the Bible. Don't do that. That's a fire hose approach. Get from him a promise and get it into your veins spiritually. You know this. How many times does the Bible say, meditate? Selah. You know, you've seen that in your Psalms, right? When you're reading Psalms? S-E-L-H-A. It means pause here. Isn't that great? God says, okay, pause. You need to pause here and just let this wash over you. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time I stopped to do that? And yet, every time we do, it's good. Your heart rate begins to calm. Your mind begins to slow down. And you start getting answers to your issues. Have you noticed that? When you wait upon the Lord, you start getting answers. I love when that happens because it gives you encouragement, you know? Maybe that's why we have difficulties too. We need to ask him for a drink. In Revelation 22:17, the Bible tells us that the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's the church, say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. God says. Verse 9, Isaiah chapter 8. Be shattered. Listen, he's speaking harsh, strong to them, disciplined terms. Be shattered, O you peoples. And be broken in pieces. Give ear, all you far countries. Gird yourselves. Notice how many times he says this. But be broken in pieces. That's the second time. Gird yourselves, third time. But be broken in pieces. Verse 10. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak the word, but it will not stand. Look at these last few words. For God is with us. What's he saying? Judah, calm down. Isaiah, speak to Ahaz. Here's what's happening. The coalition, those two nations coming to attack, everything that they're planning to do is going to be completely, God's going to deal with them. He's going to dash them into pieces. Don't panic. God is with us. God is with us. Don't panic. The Christian, listen, the Christian, God will never let you and I find very much comfort, very much strength in the things of this world. Did you hear that? It might come to a shock to you. God will never allow, or if at best, very little, for you and I as Christians to get comfort or some sort of support from this world. Just know that. You're not of this world. We have our human tendencies to lean on things. The Christian, one of the great wake-up calls to the Christian is when we begin to realize this world is not our friend. But God's with us. That's, by the way, that's going to get much more precious to us from this time forward. That God is with us. As days get darker and more difficult, God is with us. That's going to be our thing. God, but God's with us. There's couples who, in fact, we have more books written on marriage in America today, and marriages are in the worst condition ever. And I understand this, but couples will seek, for example, even Christian couples will seek the advice of the world for marriage. And yet God says in Psalm 1, don't go there. Talk to me instead. Don't go there. Why do we do this? Because we see the river, the flood coming, and we don't drink from Shiloh. Our marriage is messed up. We need a counselor. Well, if it's a biblical counselor, great. But what can a non-believer do with a Christian marriage? I remember talking to a couple not long ago, and they're Christians, and they went to a secular counselor, and that secular counselor, the question was brought up about, this is what I do. I want to be that servant leader. They were speaking Christian language. And the counselor said, oh, no, that's wrong. You hold your ground. And he gave them the wisdom of the world. No, you hold your ground. You make her come to you. You don't ever compromise. It's not a two-way street. You're to be this way. And it's just the antithesis of what Christian servant leadership is. Listen, why do we do that? Because the flood comes and we panic. Instead of in God we trust. Psalm 33:12 says, blessed or happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. You guys know that? That's the Bible. Okay, that's Psalm 33:12. Blessed or happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, that's kind of an open thing. Now, it's written by a psalmist to the Jewish people. I get that part. But the amazing thing about this promise is God is saying any nation that would seek me, they'll be a happy people. It's a generic promise. And as we look and continue to look at the book of Isaiah, the repeated calls by God to say, come back to me, he leaves that to be the choice of the people. And it's our choice. We have a tendency to see the river flowing and then what can we say? What can we do? It's just too much. And the Lord says, drink from the Shiloh.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called In God We Trust, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. And don't forget, when things go wrong because of our disobedience, we have a tendency to blame God when he is the one who wants to make things right. In God We Trust, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the actual day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, real life can be challenging, we all know that. And in order to grow and mature in our relationship with Christ, we need to start with the basics. That's why Pastor Jack has a video series called Real Life Basics, where he takes us through basic yet vitally important questions that relate to our Christian walk. Questions like, what does it mean to be a Christian? And topics that guide us through the importance of church, the Bible, money, our freedoms, confession, and so much more. So if you want answers to some of the basics of Christianity, head on over to our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, click on the Home tab or the Watch tab. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.